Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's me clapping you in to the podcast Cuddle Club. Hello. It's another episode, and to say I've missed you is a lie. No, I've missed you. Come on. This week I'm talking to Kiri Pritchard-McLean, who's a stand-up and a writer, and you know her. She's often on the telly wearing sequins. Yeah, you know her. And she lives on a farm. She's a really, really nice, interesting lady, actually. I bet she knows how to do her own eyeshadow. I turned up on Sunday brunch. You have to do your own makeup on Sunday brunch. Was I in the sidebar of shame in the Daily Express? Something like that, yeah. Then you click, it's just clickbait. You click on it and it's like, oh yeah, she said about the plates on Sunday brunch. Ridiculous world we live in. Anyway, if Kiri Pritchard-McLean was told to do her own makeup on a show, which I was, I bet she'd really know how to do it. Whereas I look like a little stragglepuss, but in my defence, it was quite early in the morning. And I really got the vibe that Tim Lovejoy hated me. Don't know whether that was just my general personality, but it was quite funny at the end because Tim Key was also on. Tim Key, very funny. And he said to Tim, oh, that was great. Thanks, mate. That was absolutely awesome. Lovely to have you on. Great show. And then he said, see you, Lou. Tim Lovejoy. Yes, well, I'll go on the show again, I suppose. He's a nice boy. And Simon Rimmer, lovely fella too. Oh, quick, before we do, quick, I'm on tour, Kiri's on tour. Go to see us both. It's not one against the other with women in comedy. If we've learnt anything, it's that we can all thrive. Okay, anyway, let's get into this chat with Kiri Pritchard-McLean. Hi, Kiri.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, I think I'll describe you, if you don't mind, for the listeners. Mm-hmm. Towel around the head, dressing gown around the bod.
Yes, one of those. I think I'm one of the only people who still loves a toweling dressing gown outside of a hotel, but I find them very time efficient, though.
Because you're, in your phrase, you're drying off right now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm doubling up.
You're using this as an opportunity to just dry off.
I'm like one of those mad 80s businessmen who has to like do press-ups while they wait for the kettle to boil. Basically, yeah. I'm like, I'll only do this podcast, which I find creatively nourishing, if I can be doing something practical in the meantime, and that is drying off. Except yeah. I know under my boobs and between my thighs won't get dry because they are constantly touching another part.
Well, feel free to just sink down a bit and just, you know, dry those while we're chatting.
I'm really sure.
Why have you got to be camera ready?
Well, not even like anything exciting. Basically, I was chatting to someone who went to my primary school. My primary school was a very weird. It was a private school, but it was. It's not like, well, every private school is obviously elite and privileged, but it was very strange in that it's basically a couple who run it who thought, I think we can teach kids in a nicer way. So they just bought this house in its own land, and it was very hippie-ish, but it's a very special school. So I always bump into people who went there and go, God, it was amazing, wasn't it? And I was speaking to one of the guys, and I was like, I had this conversation with so many people, and he makes documentaries. So I was like, we should do a little film where we film the old pupils. Oh, and it's their 40th anniversary this year, so we're doing it as a surprise for them. So I'm going and speaking to one of my old teachers and two people I went to school with that I haven't really seen since. So, yeah.
I did wonder about your old background, because you said you went to private school, and then I sort of met your dad, and I thought, he doesn't seem like the type that would, like, it's like, he's very sort of down to earth, like, not, no judgment on private schools, right? No. Yes, I have got a chip on my shoulder about them, but he didn't seem like that way at all, you know what I mean? He and actually one of my best friends sends her kids to private school, no shade.
Actually, he was dead against it. And I wish he'd been more against it because I love the school and I owe it an awful lot. But because I went to, like, my primary school was private and my secondary school was a normal school. And that was, like, my choice, if we're getting into it. But the fact that I have a choice is privilege. But also I realise, in retrospect, there was probably less of a choice because the year I was moving up was about the time my parents kind of lost everything through farming. But my dad was against it. He was like, no, you, like, I don't... Not for a moral thing. I think he's just really tight. And now he acknowledges that I've had a much better start, because that's what you pay for, than my brothers. Yeah. Not even just the level of education, which was really good. It's just more that, like, the confidence thing.
Yeah, that
is it. You get big dick energy.
That is it, yeah. Well, my goddaughter won't go to private school, but I'm just going to big her up, like, tell her everything that they would tell her, you know, like, you're better than everyone else, like, other people are scum.
People deserve to be poor. Yeah.
Everything you get, you've earned, and the rest of the people are scum. And if they're struggling, it's their fault.
Yeah.
Well, you could put this music under anything. Okay, are you ready for the quickfire round?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, your boyfriend proposes to you, but it's in a butcher's or a graveyard. What's your choice?
Graveyard, absolutely.
Yeah. You'd like that, wouldn't you, I think?
Yeah, the smell of old blood sends me under. Maybe I'm just saying that because I'm on the sort of like the last day of my period when it's not still a period. But yes, old blood, man.
Going past the butcher's is disgusting. Like, the stench when... I don't understand. My boyfriend works in a butcher's sometimes to help his cousin out, and he's vegan. And he says he can compartmentalise, which isn't great for our... isn't great for his fidelity.
My brother used to work in an abattoir as a meat hygiene inspector, which is like a government job with white wellies where you stamp the meat to say everything's clean enough for human consumption. Yeah. And he used to do it. It was a horrible job that he hated. And he used to do that for like maybe 4 or 5 years. And he smelt like a steak. That was my memory. It's like he smelt like, you know, when you first open mince, that weird meat fart, he just smelt like that all the time.
Do you eat meat?
No, we're plant-based. Apart from, we've got rescue chickens, we have the eggs from those.
Yeah. But then from a farming background, how's that go down with old Popsies?
I think he'd rather I was a paedophile.
Well, you know what to do. Father, some bad news and some good news. Which leads me on to the third quickfire question. Favourite serial killer?
Jeffrey Dahmer, today.
Today?
I've got top three.
Right, it's, and they shuffle around.
Yeah.
Well, you're hoping some more come to light so you can sort of rearrange your favourites a bit?
Do you know what? I'm hoping for a woman to just pull up the outside lane at the last minute and... I'll say it, do a shipman.
Yes, okay. Well, I'll tell you that then nature's shipman, coronavirus.
I think Shipman was technically still nature's Shipman, right?
Yeah, but I guess he was forcing it, whereas coronavirus is a more natural way to sort of get the population down. This is the dark cuddle club so far.
Sorry for your loss if you're listening.
Well, this is a podcast you can take to work in a way. Eric, all this time you've been talking and we could have been hugging. Touch quiz. You've got 5 questions to guess what I'm thinking about touching now. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's quite specific.
Basketball?
No, but it does begin with B. Imagine if you just got it and what you just came out with it. It'd be unbelievable. Like when you get Wordle on the first go. Be unbelievable.
Can you do it again? Can you imagine touching it again?
Yeah, thank you. I'll give you a clue. It's a person in a thing.
One of the Beatles?
No. No, it's a person in a thing, and that person begins with B. So that's something to go on. Also, Kiri, tell them to guess along at home. Try and engage.
Try and guess along at home. So Lou's got her sort of eyes closed, and she's got a soft smile on her face. And At first, she was holding her hands like it was a basketball. And now they're flat out in front of her.
Yeah.
So a person in a thing, and they begin with B. So Bryan Adams in the soundtrack of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
No, it's not, I'm afraid. But good guess.
Was it close?
This thing was probably iconic, you know, around the year 2000. Well, I mean, we can't be sure. Well, I can be sure if I Google it. But
is it the Millennium Bug?
Oh, that's a lovely guess, but it's Bjork and a swan dress.
Oh, I love that. I had a T-shirt with a swan on it as a homage. I loved that so much, that look.
As a nod to Bjork for all the work she's done.
Incredible Icelandic woman.
Oh, yeah. She's still bopping around.
Oh, she's still having a bop, mate. You'll never stop Bjork from having a bop.
Well, I hope not. I wouldn't want to.
Even if you make it quiet, famously, she'll still bop.
Oh, yeah. She'll bop to such... She was the first silent disco. Come on, let us in. Are you a romantic gal?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm not very good at being romantic, but I think I am good at enjoying it. Like, I appreciate romance.
You're a taker, not a giver.
Yeah, I'd say that across the board with everything, actually. Friendships, money. yeah, so I really appreciate romantic gestures. And that's not like on the nose, Eiffel Tower, hearts and chocolate stuff. Just thoughtfulness. But yeah, I'm not very good at being romantic. Basically, my boyfriend is too nice, so he doesn't really leave much room. Actually, it's quite selfish of him. He doesn't leave much room in the relationship for me to be romantic, because that's sort of his thing. I guess my romance is sort of like hassling text messages of, have you done this yet? That's sort of what I bring romantically. But maybe I should be more romantic.
Yeah, but you get things done. We all bring in different things, you know.
I do get things done.
You're telling him how he wants his life, and men don't have any ideas, so it's quite good that we're there to guide them.
Yeah. What is more romantic than being a mother to your boyfriend?
Oh, I'm really, really trying not to do that, especially what with the age difference and everything. But I really, like, so before I met my boyfriend, I would mother everybody, and I just can't do that when there's an age. It's so unsexy. Do you listen to Esther Perel?
No.
Oh, she's wonderful. And she's like, you cannot ever like parent your partner. Otherwise, it's the least sexy thing.
Mm.
But why does that happen sometimes?
Because I think if I wasn't like actively pushing him in a direction sometimes, then my life would be harder.
That's true. Although I did read a book once called... I think I've spoken on about it here before. That wasn't a sentence, but you get my gist. The dance of anger. And when you overact for someone, they underact. So if you just stop doing it, it's the hardest thing to do in the world. They will then come to meet you sort of halfway.
I tried that. It doesn't work.
Oh.
I tried that in a previous relationship. I was like, I just need to stop asking him and give him the space. And turns out it was even worse.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, now she's asking. So you are thinking about fostering, adopting, yeah?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I really, like, having a family is everything to me, like family life and having my own family. But I've never, ever had the urge to have children biologically, and that is actually...
I think the correct term is drag them out your foof.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, drag them kicking and screaming out of your foof, yeah. I've never had that desire. In fact, it's waned as life has gone on. Like, yeah. I thought it would increase, but actually it's like, it's more and more like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
But I am really, I think, maternal and would really love a family. So, and also it makes absolute sense to me that there's a lot of people in the world and a lot of brilliant, brilliant young people without homes. I don't understand why you'd pump another one out. But, yeah, people always take it really personally when I say that.
Yeah, it's such a tricky old issue. And I've been saying stand-up about how we should all adopt because, like, we're always going on about recycling and stuff. And, like I said, it's arrogant to have your own because, you know, who's thinking, well, these genes need recreating? But then if I did accidentally get pregnant, I probably would have it for a laugh just to see what it's like to... But then also everyone says, oh, you've got to be careful with adoption and they take full-time work of trying to, you know, help them accept loving and stuff. And that seems like a bit much when we're in light entertainment, baby.
That's so interesting to me, because I think that sort of, like, you know that awful quote that idiots use, that you're like, if you can't handle me at my worst thing.
Yeah.
I think if you're not willing to have a child with complex issues, then yeah. why would you think you're qualified to be a parent? Because to me that seems that, like, well, if you're going to end up with a child who has, by virtue of chemicals, mental health problems, or, you know, yeah. some kind of, any kind of impairment, they're neurodiverse, or maybe they're disabled, something like that. Or you say, oh, I wouldn't have gone in for that if I'd known. I only want my child if it's perfect, which is like,
yeah.
doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, yes, they might take more work and love, but if you don't want to work and love, you know, your child, then again, I'm just like,
well, I do, but I don't want to give up everything. I want to give up something.
Oh, okay, I get what you're saying. Right, yeah. I think you're right, and it's very interesting. You have to, like, weigh up with our lifestyle, which is quite transient and constantly busy and lots of time away, whether that fits with people who need sort of stability, and which is tricky, but it has been done. And, you know, like, Emma Thompson adopted.
Oh, yeah.
And she's my hero.
I always think, what would Emma Thompson do?
I genuinely do.
Freaking great, actually. Yeah, fair enough. And, yeah, fair enough. Go on, pop me on the books.
That's how it works.
Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. Cuddle Club. I think that's enough. You a cuddly guy?
I really am with some people. All I want is cuddles from some people. And there's, like, maybe just two of those in the world, actually.
Two?
Who? Yeah, my partner and my dad are the only people I'd have them cuddle me forever.
Can I ask a rude question? It might be rude.
Yeah.
What about Mama?
She's not, like, a cuddler. Mm. And I am not a cuddle if I get a vibe from someone that they don't like it either. I will go, every now and then my mum and I will hug, but my mum's quite shy and a bit sort of standoffish. So yeah, not really. Whereas my dad's more tactile and more like teddy bearish. But yeah, I love cuddling with some people, and with my inner circle, I'm quite tactile, I think.
Sketch troops.
I love cuddling a sketch troop. Yeah.
But you won't outside of a sketch troupe.
Yeah, or a WhatsApp group. Then yeah. I've got absolutely no time for it.
Tarot, they can come on in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
I'll cuddle Kath all day long.
But, I love Kath. I never see Kath. We never see each other, but you know, just one of those people, you're just like, oh, that girl has got good bones, you know?
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably the person I cuddle unsolicited at the most. I'll just walk around with my arm around her, side hug.
Get in from behind, you know, come at
like
her
ghost.
From the top.
All angles, really.
And that's her fault for being so bloody scrummy. Why is your mum so cold? Did she not have, like, was her family a bit weird then, on your mum's side?
I don't know. I think, I honestly think that nearly everything that underpins my mum's personality is really profound and chronic shyness, to the point that's even, and my mum's quite, like, she would happily spend the rest of her life on her own with a wheelbarrow in the field, digging something up with some dogs running around.
Yeah.
Whereas my dad's like me, he, like, feeds off people.
Yeah.
And whereas my mum's quite, like, people are quite stressful for my mum, I think. And I think all that generation, my parents were older when they had me, they were 40 and 44. So their generation was like war babies, all raised by men with PTSD. So
I think about that quite a lot, actually. Yeah, because when you get frustrated with your parents, and then you're like, oh, they didn't even have podcasts growing up.
Or pogs.
Yeah, oh dear.
What did they trade? There was no Bitcoin or pogs.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Oh, I won't ask you again, but I tell you who will, it's Alan de Botton. That was Luke on keys, if you can believe. Alan de Botton.
Okay, Alan de Botton wants to ask a question. You know this guy?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Of course you do. Okay, well, first one on the card. What do you imagine a colleague might find difficult about you? Now, that looks like it's staged because we work together. Nothing, I would wager.
The fact that I turn up to work in towels is probably one of them.
No, come on. I think you're very professional.
Yeah, I think to the point of being unhelpful, though. So sometimes I don't always know. My partner, if I introduced that thing today, I get better at it. But, you know, that whole, do you want me to listen or do you want advice? Because I'm straight out the gate with advice when I shouldn't be. Sometimes I just need to listen.
No.
I want to fix things.
I love advice. And it's so hard not to do that, though. I was with someone in the car the other day, and this person's quite troubled, and I'm a people, I just want everyone to be fixed, and so I was offering loads of advice and stuff, and then she actually mentioned, oh, the most helpful thing you can do is listen. I was like, fuck, I know, fuck. And then I did just listen, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah, because also if there's an element there of like, because lots of interaction is actually for ourselves, isn't it? And if there's an element there of you going, I want to make myself feel better by helping them, also if you can see like, well, you're just kind of indulging in something here, and
yeah,
that is frustrating. I find that frustrating when people are like, this thing, and I'm like, oh, but you could do this thing, and they're like, yeah, back to talking about that thing though.
Yes,
because I do want to fix it. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, but also yeah, you have to understand that's not what some people, they don't actually want fixing.
I know, but then it's like, well, why? And don't waste my fucking time then. You know what I mean?
But maybe because they get validation from the situations, or, you know, it's so tricky, isn't it? I think people are so, so complex. And that's the other thing as well, is I really start to notice now if, well, like, I'm quite an impulsive person, and I definitely was like so much more of an asshole when I was younger, in my 20s, and very defensive, I think. And, you know, because I had to fight a lot physically sometimes growing up for various reasons, that like I see now people who got to our age who haven't, like, excuse the phrase, done the work.
Yeah.
And are sort of like, they're the kind of people who there's always red flags of like, I tell it like it is, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
yeah,
well, you're just rude to everyone that you know then, and sometimes you don't need to. So you can see it from the other side as well, which is the more sort of like, so there's the people like me who are, I guess, more alpha and be like naturally bossy and fix things and do that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other side who sort of, like you say, might have a victim complex or something like that, or repeatedly make the same mistakes, and that's part of their identity as well. But then, like, they have to do the work as well. It's not just up to, like, loud people to fix stuff.
I know.
Have you heard the phrase strange heaven versus familiar hell?
No, but I like it.
Yeah, so Adam Drake of Goose, who directs my Edinburgh shows, talks about that a lot. We talked about it a lot with one of my shows, and for people we know as well, is the idea that some people would rather stay in a hell that they recognise and at least know how to negotiate, even though it makes them sad, then push through for what a strange heaven, you know, like a set of circumstances that are much better, but ultimately that is an unknown quantity. And I think about that a lot.
People are, excuse the phrase, fucking dumb. And that is coming from someone with an IQ of 80. Cuddle recipe number 101. Take two arms, wrap them around something, and don't let go. Unless the person asks you to let go. or animal?
I remember when we first met.
When did we first meet?
It was at the Brundell Social Club in Leeds. And it was probably about 2014 or 15. And you were closing and I was emceeing. And it was when you did a bit where you poured sugar over your head. And
whoa.
And I remember you asking me, you were so funny, and I remember you asking me what shampoo I used because my hair was shiny and it was a Lush one, so I was telling you about that. And I also remember you being very kind to me because I didn't really know you and I was so, like, out in the sticks in Manchester, and there's a few people who are so, so kind that I was like, I know we don't really know each other, but... I don't know how to get an agent or where to send them. Do you know any? Because I was struggling to get London gigs, and that was all these agents in London were like, "When are you in London next?" And I was like, "I'm not." And
yeah.
Or you can come and see me at Tuesday night at Torino's doing 3 minutes on a bill of 40 people. I just didn't have anything. And you were really friendly, and you were like, "Let me think about this, and let me see if I can find somewhere." And you were very nice. But then I felt weird because when we met like a little time later, I was like, "Oh, thank you so much." And you were like, "Oh, I thought you didn't like me." But again, that must have been my vibe of being quite sort of defensive and sometimes high status when I'm feeling insecure. But I remember you being very helpful.
Oh, yeah. I thought you didn't like me until about 2 months ago.
Why?
I don't know. I don't think that all that can be pinned at your door. I think some of it's got to be pinned at my door.
So obvious if I don't like someone.
I think we've just got very different styles, which I actually very much respect. But I would say our styles of doing work in comedy are very different. Like you're very, like you're so funny, but you're sort of like, you know what's going on and you're organised. And I'm always like the sort of girl that you probably had to help at school. There's that like dynamic going on. You're probably thinking, why hasn't she brushed her hair and done this? Why hasn't she got her set together?
But you're someone who I was like, I was talking about this, maybe I was talking about you the other day, about like, and I don't think there's any resentment in this either. It's also like, so I remember we did that Noel Fielding gig together and like, what am I going to do? And I was like, because I would like saying, I will write down everything I do. And if I'd done the venue recently, I'll do different stuff. And, you know, just like,
I'd love to be like that.
But coming up through the circuit, you sort of had to be really across that stuff of like, if you're booked for lots of yearly gigs with the same audience, you have to know what you did. You have to know what you should do differently, all that kind of stuff. But like seeing you as well, like, I have to work hard because I'm not special, right? I don't have that like magic. I'm also very like quite mainstream in what I do. And then you're like this ethereal magic thing that everyone wants to be in the room with. So you get to be like chaos. That's part of your charm.
No. I would hard disagree on that. And also, I wish that I could write... Once I had a 20-minute set, because Pasco told me to get a 20-minute set and stick to it. And I knew it inside out. And the gigs were infinitely better. And I was like, this is great. This is me now. And look at me when I'm 20. It lasted about a month. And then I don't know why I do it. And then, like, I die in Canterbury all the time. I'm not going to die in Canterbury anymore because I've got my tour show there and it's going to buck the trend. And it's because I never know what I'm... I wish I could learn a set, but there's some fear inside me of learning it. And I guess it's to do with, like, if I fail... If I don't ever have a harder gig, then I'm like, well, because I didn't know my set rather than anything else. But yeah, so I just think it's different ways around of doing it and superstition and stuff. But I do learn sets for TV and stuff. I don't just go on and wing it. So obviously, like, it's there. But, like, you smash every gig you do kind of thing. And I would say I'm more erratic, you know. I'm more up and down, whereas you, I've not seen you have a hard gig.
Well, I definitely do have. But also you have, like, that special thing where... If you might not have as good a gig, for instance,
in Canterbury.
But like 30% of the audience will go away being like, I'm a fan of hers forever. Whereas with me, they're like, oh, that comedian, I'll forget as soon as I leave the room. Whereas like, fans.
No one was a fan in Canterbury. And a woman tweeted me to say, you look like you didn't want to be there. Anyway, and that actually helped me though, because I was like, oh yeah, that's what I need to do different. And sort of look like I need to be there. No, different vibe. Look like you need to be there for the money.
I'd like a one-way ticket to Cuddle City Central, please.
Okay, best, worst or weirdest cuddle, if you got one.
Oh, best one is at night when I go to bed and I lie on my partner's chest. That's my quickest way to get off to sleep.
Aww,
I really love that.
Get off to sleep.
I can only sleep if I've cracked one off in the last sort of 5 minutes. So if I don't get to sleep in that window, I've got to go again.
You live on a farm, you two, don't you?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
It's so cute.
I know, very wholesome.
Yeah.
With our little rescue chickens. Yeah, so I love that kind of cuddle. And my partner's quite tactile and quite cuddly as well. Mm. He's like nice boy. Think it's having a dead mum. Loves a cuddle.
Oh, if you can, just get in with one with a dead mum.
I've literally got stand-up in my new tour about that.
Oh, great, yeah.
I can't recommend it highly enough. And then my weirdest cuddle was when I was growing up, I was in like a drama club and there was a singing group. But I think the only way they could get them to do the singing group is if the guy who's quite a crizzo, who's a music teacher, ran a choir. So we had like a gospel choir, which is as white as you're thinking it would
be. You can
be
dream
in rural
of.
Wales. Yeah, yeah. We looked like the kind of people who would be up against an amazing choir in Sister Act. And because of this sort of like weird vibe, occasionally some sort of young hot Christians would like waft into our lives at singing competitions or various classes or whatever. And they used to do that side hug thing. Do you know that thing?
Yes.
Where the Christian side hug. So it's like, ooh. I think the idea is that so your genitals don't kiss through trousers. And it's the most like, what's a good example of this? Well, you know when people go, so you know, if he's going to do that or she, and that bit, I know Acas has got a bit about it, but that bit reminds you so much that they are only thinking about men all the time.
Yeah.
And the same when someone gives you a Christian side hug, you'd be like, I can't believe you don't trust yourself to not think about fucking if we just hug normally.
Yeah.
And that's when I realised that being like that kind of Christian can do insane things to your sex drive as a teenager.
Whoa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Were you Chrizzo then? Brought up Chrizzo?
No, not at all. I've never even been like, none of us are christened. Like my family's utterly godless. Like,
right.
There's not, only time I've been in a church is for funerals or weddings. Never.
Yeah, but well, that's where you got your picture boyfriends up, isn't it? Funerals. Their dead mum.
From cradle to podcast, maybe the true listening is with our hearts.
It's time for, I think I've twisted my ankle just from sitting on the bed, and that's...
What?
No, it just feels weird.
How can you rollerblade so brilliantly and then twist your ankle while sat there?
God, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? Anyway, right, I'll just, never mind that. I'm just putting all the details into the cuddle calculator and then it does just read you your type, okay?
Okay, lovely.
Panda. They do it on their own terms, but people want them terms. Good luck getting a grip if you're not on the list. If you are, then you're going to love the panda.
Does that mean I pander to people?
No, it means you're a panda, which is very popular. Like a panda. But basically, they do it on their own terms, but people want them terms. Good luck getting a grip if you're not on the list. So you know how, like, pandas, everyone's trying to get them to do stuff, but they're like, no, we'll do what we want when we want.
I'll eat bamboo. I'll fuck when I'm ready.
Yeah, that exactly. Kind of thing. Exactly. That's a nice one, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely. Have you ever seen, there's a lovely little clip of a panda rolling down a hill on the internet somewhere and it's very cheery. So you've just reminded me of that. So if anything, I should be cuddling you.
So actually, pandas are pretty cool. Do remind yourself of that and have a little look at a video. Everyone wants to cuddle with a panda. Are you kidding me? But they're like...
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you said to me you can cuddle with a panda, in fact, why is that not a business opportunity?
Because it's a bear. It's still a bear.
It can't rip your head off. Yeah, but it wouldn't rip your head off, would it?
But giant pandas are fucking huge.
But is there instinct to rip your head off, or is it just to sort of, well, walk away?
I don't know, actually. I don't know enough about the instinctual drive behind the pandas, but I still just think getting in anywhere with a bear is a risk.
Do you know what, Kiri? It seems like you're not happy with panda, and that to me is fucking mad.
No, I'm fine with pandas. Adorable, very cuddly, very sweet. I love the idea of, like, yeah, on your own terms, because that does sound like me, but
yeah.
Then it's like horoscopes, isn't it? People read into stuff. Yeah, you're like, that does sound like me.
You're reading into this all the wrong way. If someone gave me a cuddle-type panda, I'd be skipping along for days.
Well, what are you then?
Well, I don't know. But that could be a special release next week. I'll put it into the cuddle calculator and give myself
one. I think that'd be nice.
Oh, sorry. I'll get myself one. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It was really nice to talk to you. And good luck at your old school.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I know I appreciate it. So that was Kiri. She does a podcast called All Killer No Filler. I'm sure you're aware of it. She also directs Gaines Family Gift Shop. But I guess the big one is get and see her on tour. The tour is called Home Truths. And I can tell you this for nothing. It will be a lovely show if I know her. It'll be a great show. So come see her, come see me on tour. And, give yourselves a slap on the butt to get you out the door. Okay, love you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.